Chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. The Walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter."
Thanks. Let's have the lights back on. Thanks, Peter. We all love stories, don't we? I certainly do. I think in stories and I think in pictures, although I'm not very good at drawing pictures at all. We love stories, we love news stories, we love old stories. And the story we've just heard and seen, for many of us, will be perhaps a news story. For others of us, it's an old story. And some of our favourite stories are old stories, aren't they? Sometimes we like to listen to a story again and again and again, and we get excited by the bits that thrill our hearts the most. We know it's coming and we're looking forward to it. We don't mind hearing a good story again and again and again. So we're going to listen to the story that we've just seen and just heard up on the screen there. To help retell the story, I've got a little Easter basket here. Also got a friend at the front. Hello. Are you Logos or Isaiah? I can't figure out which one you are. Anyway, I've got a little Easter basket here, and in it, I've got some of those I've got a little illustration that, you know, when you're reading a book and you're reading a story and you come to a new chapter in the story, just next to the title of the chapter, there's sometimes an illustration, isn't there? Or a picture that tells you what that chapter in the story is going to be about. So I've got some little illustrations in my Easter basket, and as we go through, I'll need a volunteer to come and help me get it out, and we'll put it on this little plinth here, and that'll help tell us where we are in our story and what's going on. So I'll be looking for some volunteers as we go along. Like, I need a volunteer right now to tell us about the first chapter. Sam, I think your hand was up very, very first indeed. Turn that around so that people can see it. What have you got on your hand, Sam? Chocolate, yes. A chocolate in the shape of what? bread. I don't know if I need more, a different volunteer. It never worked with children, it says. And are you sure that that is bread? What is it? It's a shoe. That's right. Yay. Thank you, Sam. Brilliant. Really helpful. Why don't you put that on the end there? Thank you very much. Big round of applause for Sam there. A shoe. That's right. It is a chocolate shoe we've got there. And the title of our first chapter is this. Oh, you can't see that, can you? Feet walking with Jesus. We've got a chocolate football boot to signify that. Two friends, if you remember in our story a moment ago, were walking from the big city of Jerusalem to their own home in a place called Emmaus, which was about as far as Sheffield is from Dronfield. Who here is from Dronfield? Well, hey, the Waters family at the back there. Also the Lees, I cued them in to shout at that point. They weren't really as loud as I expected. Anyway, there we go. These two were heading home, and as they were walking along, they were talking about their loved friend. Their very, very special friend indeed. This was a Sunday in the evening, and their loved friend had died on Friday. So they were desperately sad. They were grieving. They were confused. They felt very hurt indeed. And if you look at your Bible, if you got that page open in front of you, if you look at verse 15 with me, it says this, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So as they were walking, they were talking about Jesus. They were talking about his betrayal, his arrest, his brutal beatings. They were talking about his horrible death on the cross. And unbelievably, amazingly, as they were walking along, Jesus, like we saw in Joel's film a moment ago, drew alongside and walked with them. And they didn't recognize him. Why would they? One of the other things they were talking about was that some other of their friends, some women, said that Jesus had risen. They were confused and they didn't believe that. Why? When people die, they die. And amazingly, Jesus was right there walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. It is amazing. Jesus is closer than you think. Amazing. Jesus is closer than you think. He did rise. He has risen. He is alive. And still today, I think the same is true for us. If I am willing to walk through life and begin to talk about Jesus, to be interested in him, then I think by his Holy Spirit, he does the same today. He will draw alongside and begin to walk with you. He'll begin to share himself with you. If you are interested enough to think about and understand him, it doesn't matter how confused you might feel, like this couple of people. It doesn't matter how sad you feel, or how hopeless you feel, or how successful you are, or what a failure you feel. Jesus, I think, if we're interested enough in him, will begin to walk alongside us. Now, today's an interesting and a special day in world history. It's the first time, I think, in quite a while, where the Eastern churches and the Western churches celebrate Easter on the same day. So it's interesting, our friends, our extended members of our church family, Tim and Nikki Sandell and Joshi, are out in Greece, and today they've got a special day of Protestants and Orthodox sharing Easter the same day. And for our friends, Tim and Nikki and Joshi, today, they want to choose to walk with Jesus. And out there in Greece, Jesus is walking with them. Isn't that wonderful? And they can know that, and we can know that too. Our feet, as it were, walking with Jesus. So, in a sense, if you've never decided or thought, well, actually, I might start thinking about Jesus a bit more, I dare you to. I dare you to, and just see if this isn't true for you. Amazing. Jesus is closer than we think. I need a second volunteer to come and help get the next thing out here. I think your hand was up first last time. Come on out. No, go on then, Martha. You next. Yes, come on. What are we looking for here? That's it, that bit there. What's that then? Can you all see? Chocolate heart. Thank you. Do you want to go and sit down again? Put the chocolate heart on there. And then the title of this next chapter is this. Hearts Burning with Jesus. There you are. Someone really excited about what they've seen or what they're listening to. It really is thrilling them. I think that's a little bit of what it means for you, having your heart burning within you kind of thing. Is this true? It seems like it really might be true. You get really excited and your heart starts pumping inside you. Hearts burning with Jesus. Two things really confused this couple as they walked home. First of all, they did not understand Jesus' death. Jesus had done some amazing things. He had been a wonderful prophet. He had spoken amazing truth and he was pure and absolutely perfect. To them, it was obvious he was God's king, the Messiah. Why on earth would he die? So it's understandable that they were confused about Good Friday. And then they were confused about Easter Day and Jesus' resurrection. Like I said a moment ago, when dead people die, they stay dead. It's understandable that they didn't believe that Jesus had risen. They didn't understand Easter at all. They didn't understand his death, Good Friday. They didn't understand his resurrection on Easter Day. Look at verse 25, you've got your Bible open there. It says this, Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later on, look at down at verse 32, Jesus, they said this of that little Bible study they had with Jesus. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? This is amazing, isn't it? Jesus is closer than we think. He'll walk with us in life if we're interested in him. He's so close that if we dare to read the book that you've got in your hands, the Bible, if we dare to read that, his word, he will begin to reveal himself to us. And like these couple of folks, we will begin to find our hearts beginning to pump that little bit faster because Jesus may well be closer than you think, and the Bible begins to confirm it for us, and God's Spirit takes his word, the Bible, and begins to work in our minds and our hearts and bring us to that point when we say, I don't just dare to believe, I really want to believe. I know that it is true, that he died for my sin. You know, we get to that point where we realize that we are more sinful than we ever thought. And we deserve God's anger and judgment. But we also realize that we're more loved than we ever dreamed. And Good Friday was about Jesus dying on the cross in your place and my place. And when we understand that, our hearts burn within us. It's absolutely wonderful and absolutely amazing. Jesus is closer than we think because he was raised to life again. He's willing to walk with us, he's willing to talk with us and share his word with us so that our hearts burn within us. I need a third volunteer. He's already chosen. Reuben, come on out, please. You've got to be real careful with this one. Hopefully it won't all fall to pieces. Get the house out. Pick it up by the plinth. Pick the whole thing up so it doesn't fall apart. Keep hold of it. And then show it for everyone to see. What's that? It's a house. Yay. Do you want to put it in the middle up there? Thank you very much indeed for everyone to see. Let's put it there. So, thank you very much indeed. So we've got a shoe, we've got a heart, and we've got a little home as well. And with a little home, we've got two little people as well, just like in the story. It's amazing what you can buy in the shops. So these two friends, they approached their village, their home, and Jesus looked like he was going to walk off into the night time, and they urged him to stay and to come into their home. They basically said, look, Jesus, well, they didn't know it was him, look, stranger, it's getting late, please come into our house and stay with us. And you know, if they hadn't invited him in, what would have happened? I think Jesus would have carried on walking into the night. There comes a point when our hearts have been beating, and we know it may well be true, when we have to take a step and say, Jesus, how about coming in? What a sadness it is if we never did that. We'd never know who it was who'd made our hearts burn within us. We'd never know, really, actual fact, there was a solution to how bad we feel about our own grief, that Jesus died in our place. We'd never know what it is to have hope, that Jesus is risen and can give us new life too. As this couple went into their homes welcoming Jesus, Jesus sat at table with them. And it was an interesting thing that went on. We heard in the story there, the table was laid, Jesus sat there with them, and it would have been whoever was head of the home, the owner of the home, the owner of the bread, the owner of the table to say grace. But that's not what happened. Jesus took the bread. Jesus prayed. Jesus said grace. He was the guest, but he acted like the host. He was the guest, but he acted like it was his home, his table, his bread, his guests. If we invite him in, he does take over. He doesn't take away. Jesus is no killjoy. Sin is what kills, and Jesus died in our place for that. And he offers us life, full life. And then we understand that at this point, something else happened. We need another volunteer to come and pick out the next thing in here. So I need, yes, one of you two. Let's go for these. Let's go for the younger sister. Come on out. Pick out that smiley face. Brilliant. Can you hold it up real high so people can see? Can you all see that? Do you all need to stand up so you can see? There we are. It's a smiley face with big eyes. I'm going to put it on the table here. Thank you very much indeed. Eyes. That's the next chapter of our little story here. Eyes seeing Jesus. Look at verse 31. Their eyes are opened. And they recognized him, and I found that on Tinternet, and I thought, well, that's about, I reckon, what they must have looked like when they spotted that it was Jesus. Wow, goodness me, they said, really feeling very, very excited indeed. It really was him. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he was walking and talking with us about those wonderful truths? You see, I think this, we don't know what actually happened at the point that they recognized him. Luke tells us that it was the point when he broke the bread and said grace. It might have been that they were suddenly reminded of the feeding of the 5,000. It might have been that they were reminded of Jesus sharing the Passover and the Lord's Supper with them. We don't know. But this we do know. I don't think it was just that one moment. I think it was a build-up of them all. If you and I really want to see Jesus, then I think we've got to begin and be interested in him and begin to say, would you walk with me? I want to begin walking with you. Please, would you begin to teach me stuff? I'll pick up a Mark's Gospel, I'll pick up a Bible, and I'll start reading it. And would you make my heart begin to burn with truth? And then I think we've got to say, well, we need to welcome him in and take a step of faith. And then our eyes will be open and we'll see just exactly who he is. And again, I want to say, I dare you to. It is amazing. Jesus is closer than you think. We're coming towards the end. We've got two more, and I need the other sister at the front here to come and get this second last thing out. There we go. Do you want to pick that one out? Brilliant. Show that to everybody so they can see. It's like the last one, but it's got a big tongue sticking out, hasn't it? There we go. Do you want to put it on the top there next to that one there? Tongues, there we are. There's the, thank you, you can go sit down. Tongues speaking about Jesus. Look at verses 33 to 35. They arose that same hour, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord has risen." Amazing, Jesus closer than you think. And he's appeared to Simon and they told what had happened to them on the road and how Jesus was made known to them by the breaking of bread. Jesus really had risen. Jesus really is alive. These folks could not help speaking about it. There's a big megaphone on the picture there. Tongues wagging. A little bit like the film we saw at the start. Texting. Can't help it. Pass on the information. It's really exciting. It is really thrilling. We've seen the Lord. We know it's true. What a story. For some of us, it might be new. For some of us, it is an old favourite, and I've told you nothing new. But as a true and an old favourite and a wonderful story, it truly is wonderful because it tells us that Jesus really is closer than we think. And that is absolutely staggering and absolutely wonderful. I need one more volunteer to come to the front to help. Who's in pink at the pink top? Which one is it? Come on out. Yes, please. Come to the front. One more. There we go. Pick that out and show people what that is. Let me hold it a little bit higher. It's a speech bubble. A speech bubble. Can you read what it says on that? Welcome home. Thank you very much indeed. Going to sit down again. Welcome home. Final chapter of the story. You, me, trusting in Jesus. Trusting in his death for us, trusting in his resurrection. And this speech bubble really summarizes, I think, something so important. Us saying a speech bubble, a prayer to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, my life, my home, me, welcome. Welcome to my home." Asking him, "Keep me walking with you, Jesus, if we already are, through my life. Keep me speaking and keep speaking to me, as it were, about your word and encouraging my heart about your death and resurrection. Keep me remembering that you are in charge. Yes, I invite you in as the guest, but you take over. And I submit to you rightfully as Lord. You keeping up on opening my eyes to see truth in your word. You, by the power of your spirit, helping my tongue to speak about you." Us trusting Jesus Christ as our Saviour and as our Lord. Let's spend a moment of quiet, shall we? Let's just pause, be quiet. Just where we're sat, let's each of us quietly in our hearts pray to Jesus, and if it's appropriate, for the first time, say, "Jesus, would you come into my heart and my life? Help me to trust you." And if you've done that before, to say, "Jesus, please, stay in my heart. You're welcome. You're always welcome. Keep me walking with you."